Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I use the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service? Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified. I've always felt that way.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Which bad idea do you prefer? This is Wretched Radio. Tony, as always, you will represent the tens and tens of people listening to this here Wretched Radio program. Uh-huh. I have two options for your consideration,
Okay. Both
of which are bad ideas.
Okay.
Nevertheless, would you like to hear this bad idea, or would you like to hear this bad idea?
This bad idea.
Well, they were both this.
The first this is...
Would you like to hear this bad idea or that bad idea?
What's your preference? See, now I have a choice.
Exactly.
Well, then I'd prefer that bad idea.
Oh, that bad idea. Here we go with that bad idea, which may cause you to disagree, potentially disagree and be upset with Tony. Because I'm not getting into this mess, I'll tell you that much, Buster Brown. Last week, if you recall, Babylon Bee causing a little bit of a stir on the internet. It is a satirical website. They do a lot of funny stuff. There are people, however, who feel that last week they crossed the line. I'm one of them. I don't think that we need to bring them out into public and scourge them. Joey would like to do that, but I don't think that that was the necessary response. I just disagree. They wrote an article that was, in my opinion, stepping over the line into blasphemy. Why? Because it made God the butt of the joke. And that's a no-no when it comes to Christian humor. Can, however, we ever invoke God into anything funny? And the answer to that is, you gotta be really, 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 really careful of that. I think the guiding question should be, is it necessary? Humor can be used to really make a point. Sarcasm, it can be a serrated edge, it can just shred something up, or it can cut something and reveal, wow, that's a really bad idea. I'm going to change my thinking on that. Should we ever invoke God in that kind of humor? And I would say we better be really, 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 really careful about that. Can there ever be any religious jokes? I believe there can be. For instance, Tony, a rabbi, a priest.
Which would be for every instance, religious joke I've ever heard.
Pretty much. So pick your favorite. A nun, a priest, and a rabbit walk into a bar. The rabbit says, I think I might be a typo. Nothing wrong with that kind of joke. Why? God's not the butt of that joke. It's just humor. Now, even that could be blasphemous if you're not careful. And some people are going to have different opinions about that. But any time that God is invoked in the joke, that makes me really nervous at best. Received an email from Rachel. Todd, after listening to your segment on the Babylon Bee, I did a quick search for God on their website. And this is what appeared. God the Father bugging the rest of the Trinity with dad jokes. That's the one that I said, the Trinity does not bug the Trinity. The Trinity, I'm not going to somehow compromise the integrity of the Godhead to make a joke. It's just not worth it. There's other ways to be humorous, and that ain't one of them. Furthermore, if you recall from the article, Jesus actually left heaven primarily to get away from the Father telling dad jokes. Oof. So I think they erred. I don't think that we need to call them heretics. I think they made bad judgment. And now we watch it. If it continues, that becomes a different issue. If it's a persistent pattern of blasphemous headlines, then you're probably going to want to pull the plug on it, not send them around anymore. I don't know that that's happening. However, there's more headlines. Tony, Joey, are you with us today? Here are some of the headlines. See if these cross the line. God working on backup plan to accomplish his will just in case Trump doesn't get reelected. Okay, now you're laughing.
I am.
Rachel thought that that fell underneath the column of blasphemy, saying, look, they've done this before. This is becoming a pattern with them. Do you not think that that was blasphemous?
No, I think they were poking at the Trump is the only the
way
bestest.
To save America.
The savior-ish-like thing.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
I agree. That
they're poking
is
fun
the
at
impact
them.
Of the joke. Now, in any way, does God take a knock? God working on backup plan to accomplish his will just in case Trump doesn't get reelected? You don't think so?
I mean, I suppose you could get there from there,
that
but it would be,
that
you have to work at it a little, because God's
is
plan is
unassailable. Nobody's going to thwart
deal.
God's plan.
Yeah.
Okay, so this joke then could potentially be compromising the sovereignty of God, and some would conclude that's blasphemous. You don't. So which one of you is the heretic, the black sheep that needs to be kicked out of the evangelical camp? Because those are our only two alternatives here.
Well, I'm Lutheran, so I suppose I'd get kicked out of the evangelical camp.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I'm
well,
thinking.
Well, that was resolved. That actually got cleaned up tight.
See, look at that. Pretty clean.
There's another headline.
Uh-oh. Is this to this one?
God feeling pretty confident in his NCAA bracket this year. Funny? Not funny. Blasphemous?
Not funny.
Okay.
Everyone's always confident in their bracket until the first round of games.
So, okay, so that might be where the impact of the joke is supposed to be, that people who are confident, but then it begins, and then it falls apart because usually you lose. Okay, if that's the joke, see, this one to me, God feeling pretty confident, it's
that gets
necessary.
A little closer to I don't
it's
like.
It's not necessary.
Yeah.
If it's funny or not, I don't think it is. I guess it has to do with basketball. Pretty much all I know. It's not worth it. God is thrice holy. There are too many evangelicals, in my opinion, that have no sense of humor whatsoever. They're afraid to laugh at anything. On the other hand, there are evangelicals who are too quick to laugh at things that besmirch God and his attributes. And that is a bigger no-no, if you ask me. Another headline. Did they step over the line? God checks Twitter, immediately bumps up date for apocalypse. Okay, you think it's
See,
funny.
I find that one funny.
Okay.
Because if you read Twitter, I'm thinking the apocalypse should have happened last week.
All right, so it's clearly it's poking fun, not at God, but does it compromise God and his attributes of sovereignty? He doesn't change dates. Every date is set. In stone, and it will not be moved, even by a lot of bad twittering. Does it compromise? Now, you did a scowly face. What about person who goes, no, that definitely, what do we make, why are we invoking God to make a joke about these things?
Yeah, I could see that, but it's not me.
All right. This one is a little confusing to me.
I probably wouldn't kick them.
But this is... dicey territory. And that's why the question I keep coming back to, some people are going to agree and disagree. Tony clearly thought that was funny. I can clearly understand why people would go, wait a second, well, God doesn't move dates. Why are you laughing at such things? And that's why I ask the question, is it worth it? If you know that there's going to be Christians who find it offensive, and even if you could make the case, well, that was not the intent, that is not at whom the joke was aimed, is it worth it? Here's one that I thought was odd. Local Protestant thanks God that he's not like those messed up Catholics. What's up with that? I thought that was, what? Huh? Are we not different than Roman Catholics as Protestants?
He's taking shots at Jews and Catholics, and
I think that's taking shots at self-righteousness.
Thanks. Okay.
All right.
Joey,
yeah, I could go there.
Okay. All right. See, I didn't see. I went to ecumenical away.
Yeah, I went to the idea of the prayer of the Pharisee and how people.
I thank
are like,
you that I'm not like that person.
So glad I'm not like that Pharisee.
Okay. So now this brings up a different issue. So we are now writing the jokes for Babylon Bee. And we're sitting in a room. Joey, you thought it's fun making fun of self-righteous people with a biblical allusion. Tony, what did you think of this? You just went, eh. I went, wait a second. Is this saying there's no distinction between Catholics and Protestants? I would say, look, we've got confusion. This thing isn't clear to people. Can it? What's the next idea that we've got? Here's the last one. God apologizes for gendered language in Bible.
No. No.
What? Okay. No. Why is that one different than the other ones you laughed at?
Because that takes a direct shot at God. I can find other people getting poked fun at in the other one.
But not this one.
Not that one, and not the one that caused the whole rigmarole.
Okay. I'm just assuming this position on behalf of the former Tony, who is arguing the same way. No. It's arguing at today's new international version. This is arguing against people who want to lose any sort of gender pronouns in the Bible. So it's making fun of liberals. Ha! What do you think of that?
That's how I took it.
Okay, Tony, so now you're all alone
the other,
on this.
That one just hits me as...
And I think that's the moral to the story. Different people are going to read these headlines differently, and they're going to get a different oomph out of it unless somehow it's so crystal clear. Can we ever invoke God in anything humorous? Wow. I just have to keep asking the question, is it worth it? And my answer is no. Nope. We should esteem God's name the way he esteems it. It's himself, and that is above all things. And humor that includes him just ain't worth it. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for being here today. Always appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day with us at Wretched Radio. And we always appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day checking out Wretched TV. What? You say you haven't heard of Wretched TV? Well, it's a 30-minute TV show from Wretched, hosted by Todd. Just check your local TV listings, or you can watch the episodes at wretched.org. Wretched TV has live witnessing encounters, discussions on tough theological issues, and on various topics in the Christian community. Full-length Wretched TV episodes available at the home of all things Wretched, wretched.org/TV. Check it out today, wretched.org/TV. And thanks very much to our gospel partners for making all of this possible, Wretched Radio and Wretched TV and wretched.org, too. If you would like to partner with us and become a Wretched monthly gospel partner, thank you. Get the details at wretched.org/donate. Wretched, amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Let me take you to Eastern Europe, where the stories coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs are much better than my accent.
Katya came to the club when she was 14. Her father at the time left their family, and her mother was struggling to raise 5 kids by herself. Katya loved her experience in the Tomorrow Club right away and was overwhelmed by the amount of God's love shown through the leaders. Very soon, she brought 3 of her siblings that later became her helpers. Last year, Katya repented at the local church and was baptized. Now she's a leader in this Tomorrow Club, serving God. And I want to thank the Wretched Radio for your support that made Katya's story possible. May God bless you.
That's our dear brother, Max, leading the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples, your own Tomorrow Club in a small, poor Eastern European village. You can become a Tomorrow Club sponsor, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Is there someone in your life you fear is a false convert? Would you like to know more about true and false conversion? Then you want Are You a Rotten Fish? It is the perfect gospel booklet for you. Are You a Rotten Fish is a thorough presentation of true and false conversions. In other words, it's the difference between good fish and rotten fish. Are You a Rotten Fish will compare and contrast the true gospel versus false gospels and the correct response, repent and trust, versus all the incorrect responses, you know, things like asking Jesus into your heart. So get your copies of Are You a Rotten Fish today at wretched.org/fish. wretched.org/fish. So if you're not absolutely certain you're a good fish, or you know some rotten fish and you'd like to figure out why they aren't good fish, get your copies of Are You a Rotten Fish? wretched.org/fish. Wretched. Amazing grace. Christians are called to make disciples, but where do we start? Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They'll fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com.
Books of the Bible. The Book of Proverbs is a collection of memorable sayings meant to encourage wisdom for godly living. Each proverb is to be understood on its own, and then in light of the rest of the book, and finally the whole Bible. When you desire wisdom, look to the Book of Proverbs, which reminds us that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go to the land of Oz, shall we? No, not with Dorothy and the gang. To Australia we go. There's a religious discrimination bill that is, well, maybe is passed at this point. But Scott Morrison has proposed a bill, and conservative Christians are thrilled to pieces. It's a religious discrimination bill. An editorial was written on this. The bill will become quite obvious to you as you hear this opinion piece from a fellow named Luke Beck, saying conservative Christians are some of the biggest supporters of Scott Morrison's religious discrimination bill, but they should be careful what they wish for. It won't just be gay people, women and people with disabilities who lose out under the proposed law. Christians will be among the biggest losers. So the legislation is to protect Christians that we can state our beliefs and we can state this type of behavior, according to the Bible, is sinful. In other words, free speech. This fellow is saying, be careful what you wish for, because that means people can say the same things about you. And this fellow is correct. But my response would be, yeah, exactly. That's the whole point, sir.
Yeah, and?
That's the whole point of this. Nevertheless, I thought it was worth taking a look at, because I guess this could be an argument in the future. The bill protects statements of belief from being the subject of a complaint or under any federal, state, or territory anti-discrimination law. Wow, the world has changed. I'm telling you, the world has changed. It is so different. There's a flagpole. Hold on. There's a flagpole in Florida, if I'm not mistaken. I thought this article just said it all, whether it's Australia or whether it's America. There's a flagpole that's been up for like 78 years. And somebody probably...
79 years?
You covered the story. Was it Freedom From Religion Foundation? They wanted the cross taken down because it was on
public. Aha, and Freedom From Religion.
All right. So what was the ruling then, Mr. News Guy?
I don't remember the details, but they said it can stay and they're not taking it down. Yeah.
How old did you say that cross was?
79.
Mine says 78-year-old cross. Maybe it's two different stories.
Maybe it is, now that I'm wondering.
In Bayview, it's called Bayview Cross in Pensacola. The court ruled that because it was built ahead of World War II, it's a place for the community to gather. It does not violate the Constitution. Quote, the Supreme Court has now made clear that religious symbols are an important part of our nation's history. And I thought, well, that pretty much sums it up right there. Putting up a cross in a public place is indeed history. It's not likely to happen today. So it's protected simply because it's from our past, not because a group of people went, we want the cross to stand up in our public square in front of our courthouse. Those days are gone. It's protected simply because it's history. I thought that was sadly poetic.
Yeah.
Back to Australia we go. I don't think, if the cross were placed 2 weeks ago, it would have been torn down. And again, I still think the question that we Christians need to ask when it comes to public places, especially government places, do we really want to lend our symbols to the government? I think we've been asking the wrong question now for too many years. The times, they haven't changed. The bill protects statements of belief from being the subject of a complaint under federal anti-discrimination law. It extends to statements made in writing or by spoken words that ridicule, humiliate, or even intimidate another person. Now, Christians have no desire to ridicule, humiliate, or intimidate another person.
Doesn't matter anymore. Anything you say that is disagreeable to someone else
it is
means
that.
You've attacked them and humiliated them.
You and I understand that. Now, could there ever be a place for mocking somebody's worldview? I really think so. In fact, there's a part of me that wonders, this whole gender confusion. I think Gloria Allred was interviewed on the Ben Shapiro program, and Ben Shapiro said, so how do you feel about biological males running in the track race for the women? And Gloria Allred, the feminist, said stammeringly, well, it's hard, but we got to let them. What? That's just bonkers. It's absolutely bonkers. This thinking is so laughably detached from reality, what is obvious, and what is scientific. They're science deniers on the wrong side of history, I might add. Could there ever be a place for just being incredulous and like, you really can't be serious? You really believe that somebody with those body parts is actually somebody without those body parts? There was another story. Biological male who identifies as a female, and we've heard this before, haven't we? Gets put into a women's prison. Sorry, I'm not trying to mock and ridicule, but it's like, boing, boing, boing.
Even 10 years ago, these stories would have been something that the Babylon Bee could have written.
Yeah, it's reality, and it's absolutely Zanyville. They put the guy into the women's prison. Surprise! He's raping the women in the prison. So apparently, he's a lesbian. Well, there's a sentence that I never thought would actually work somehow, and yet it does. It's an effect of the fall. Let's just say it's a noetic effect is what it is.
See, I just go with it's nuts.
We don't want to call people names, though, and humiliate them. We want to win them. Nevertheless, employers will be able to ridicule Christians now in the workplace. Yeah, that's correct. They could do that. For example, writes this columnist, an atheist boss could put a poster above a Christian worker's desk saying, Christianity is superstitious nonsense. Yeah, I guess they could. The boss could also say
things. That.
What, Joey?
They could continue doing that kind of stuff in public.
I've never seen it before.
Well, not necessarily in a workplace, but in public.
If you're a boss and you want to make fun of your employees, well, rot's a rock. See how that pans out for you. But you have that. If you want to be that way, then the person can say, I don't want to work for you anymore, and they go find another gig. It's freedom of speech. Now, it could be that would be considered a hostile work environment. Would we want to protect people from being attacked in the workplace? Well, I guess to some point, perhaps, but it is their workplace, and if they want to treat people poorly, then people aren't going to work for them, and the invisible hand of commerce will play itself out.
Capitalist.
And historically, we've been okay with that. The boss could also say things like, Christianity is like a mental disorder to a Christian during a job interview. Doctors will be able to humiliate Christian patients.
I've been stung roundly.
Yeah, I know. A Buddhist doctor could tell the Christian parents of an unwell child, if you spent less time praying and more time caring about your child's health, your child wouldn't be this sick. Yep. And that would get posted on the internet, and the guy would start losing business. That's how it works. Shopkeepers will be able to intimidate Christian customers. For example, a Muslim butcher will be allowed to intimidate a Christian customer. The butcher could tell the customer, you Christian infidels, better watch out. You will suffer punishment. Yeah, I guess they could.
And,
that's what freedom of speech is about. It protects speech that I find rather unpleasant. That's the point. This fellow is an associate professor of constitutional law at a university in Australia and author of Religious Freedom and the Australian Constitution, Origins and Future. To me, he misses the entire point. Problem? This is the conversation that we're having, to control speech, to control thought, and to control any sort of criticism of it. Woo! We're living in a dangerous place. The cross in Florida. The Supreme Court has now made clear religious symbols are an important part of our nation's history and culture, and therefore it doesn't violate the Constitution. But if it weren't 78 years old, it would have.
Because it's history.
All right, here's another freedom of speech thing. See how this one slides down your Christian gullet. Kentucky must pay an atheist $150,000 for rejecting a license plate that says, I am God. Blasphemous? Yep. Is it the government's job to control blasphemy? I don't think it is. They're not given that authority. It is the realm of the church to preach. That's a sin. Repent. The state argued it had a legitimate government interest in promoting highway safety by denying the plate because potentially controversial messages could lead to a confrontation or distraction on its highways. Well, in that case, we better get rid of all bumper stickers, because let me tell you, there's a lot of them that get up my nose. I love seeing Bernie Sanders bumper stickers on fancy SUVs. Enjoy it while you can.
The irony.
You don't get that. When we were flying back from Memphis, I think it was two nights ago, there was a guy in first class. Down south, man. Some of y'all have never been down south too much. Going to tell you a little story so you understand what I'm talking about. Sorry, I fell into Elvis for just a moment.
Just a moment. Salad.
He was sitting in first class watching a thing on Bernie Sanders, and I wanted to go, if you vote for him, bye-bye, first class. Enjoy it while you can. So the government, to protect us from getting annoyed with one another, denied the plate. Turns out, because they've had plates like, I'm for God and love God, they've given approval in the past. It's now been ruled you can't deny that. And you got to pay $150,000 for your error. Do I like somebody putting a blasphemous message on their license plate? No. Should they be allowed to? What's good for the goose? This is Wretched Radio.
Sometimes simple is best. The Mission Ball is simply a soccer ball covered with biblical text, a thorough law and gospel presentation, and an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim Christ. With your support, the Mission Ball can get into the hands of more lost and dying souls. Go to themissionball.org. That's themissionball.org. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. Catholic Social Services of Philadelphia will get a chance to defend its religious beliefs about marriage in front of the nation's highest court. The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear an appeal in the lawsuit over whether the city can cancel its foster care contract with the agency because it will not place children with LGBT couples. Catholic Social Services has had to stop placing children on the city's behalf. Lower courts ruled against the agency and two of its foster mothers, saying that they had to follow the city's non-discrimination policy. In the meantime, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services is trying to prop up religious adoption and foster groups with rules that respect their biblical beliefs. And now, it's up to the High Court. Why do I feel just a hair uneasy about that? Sadly, the U.S. not alone in the fight for life. Parliament in India will soon consider removing some protection for unborn babies. Currently in India, the law allows abortion until 20 weeks gestation with the approval of two physicians. The changes would leave babies unprotected now up to 24 weeks of gestation and require the opinion of only one doctor. It would also allow abortionists to kill babies with fetal abnormalities up until birth. In Argentina, thousands of women gathered in Buenos Aires last week to show support for a new bill that would legalize abortion. Argentina protects babies from abortion throughout pregnancy, except in cases of rape or life-threatening health risk to the mother. The Roman Catholic Church in Argentina is organizing a counter-rally. They've scheduled it for March 8th, International Women's Day. And last week in Colombia, the Constitutional Court considered legalizing all abortions up to 12 weeks of gestation. Like Argentina, Colombian law safeguards all unborn babies with limited exceptions. And in Portugal, lawmakers passed five proposals last week that would legalize euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide in some cases. The bills will go through an amendment process before the final vote. When did life get so disposable? There is some good news. The Trump administration has the right to withhold federal family planning funding from facilities that provide or refer for abortions. That's what a U.S. appeals court ruled on Monday. In the 7-4 decision, the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said the U.S. Supreme Court already approved nearly identical regulations back in 1991. Title 10 pays for family planning services for low-income patients. Previously, abortion providers like Planned Parenthood could receive Title 10 funds but not spend them on abortions. Critics said that money could serve as backdoor abortion funding by supporting the administrative costs of those facilities. Under President Trump, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services ruled that Title 10 recipients could not share a building with an abortion center or refer patients for abortion. Planned Parenthood pulled out of the program entirely, giving up about $60 million a year in our federal tax dollars. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called God and Savior. If Jesus were only human, his death could not have paid our debt. But Jesus is both man and God, able to represent us, yet able to bear the wrath of the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And all of God's people rolled their eyes. This is Wretched Radio. It's amazing how often the headline similar to this from, you guessed it, Pathios, pops up. That they make a claim. No, it's not Pathios. It's BeliefNet. Oh, man. That's even worse, Scylla. Jesus did not die on the cross for our sins is the headline at BeliefNet. Belief in what net? What faith are they presumably representing?
Oh, no. BeliefNet is all faiths, any faith. It's
obviously,
like,
but you would think it was a Christian website, wouldn't you? Hey, Joey. You want to do a little sleuthing? Who owns BeliefNet? You want to find out who the proprietor of that organization is? That might be interesting. We see this headline on occasion, and I always violently roll my
Ooh.
Eyes.
Huh? It is owned by the Fox Entertainment Group.
No.
Yep.
But they're for Republicans. I mean evangelicals. What are you talking about? That can't possibly be. They're owned by Fox?
Yeah, which is currently owned by
Geraldo Rivera. Who?
The Mouse. Disney.
Disney owns Fox now?
Yeah, they just bought them in their effort to buy up all entertainment.
Oh, this is bad.
Yeah,
this
I posted a video of my kids online. Now Disney owns it.
Yeah. See, here's the problem now. We are really putting a box on this dealio because I just read a headline. It's outrageous or outward or into the future, something like that. The new Disney movie is going to have gay characters and they own Fox and evangelicals are sworn to watch Fox. Now what are we supposed to do? We can't possibly watch Fox, which
now
is owned by Disney, which does anti-Christian things. If you and I did not let ourselves remember that we live in a sinful, fallen world and we tried to separate ourselves from everybody, including in the realm of commerce, who does bad things, who believes sinful things, then we'd be packing up and we'd be moving to a commune together to be self-sustainable with just enough food to get through the winter. But we live in the world. We don't separate ourselves from everything. Now, if it's an issue of conscience, you do that. Seriously, please do that. Don't buy from somebody who is doing something that you find abhorrent. There was a few weeks ago, there was a big push against Starbucks because Starbucks in, I want to say, Great Britain, forgive me if I don't have the details exactly right, in Great Britain, I believe they had spent $100,000, I don't know if it was dollars or pounds, to promote an organization that encourages kids to act on their belief that they're actually another gender. And so Starbucks is a part of that because they want everybody to be inclusive and welcoming, and a four-year-old can mutilate his or her body because they think that they're not what they clearly are. And there were a number of articles written about it. See, you can't buy a cup at Starbucks. In fact, I read one of them. It was like, now just think about that. And they shared a story of a woman whose daughter tried to become a boy or vice versa. And it's a heartbreaking story. It's argument by anecdote and it breaks your heart. And it's like, now you just think about that mother the next time you order your cappuccino at Starbucks. Okay. But the car that I drove to Starbucks in or drove around to go to the gas station to get a cup of coffee there, is run by a car manufacturer that spends money on LGBTQ causes. Oh, and that gas station that I love, I went to their website. And by the way, I did. Went to their website and they talked about what nonprofits they support. Basically, anything that helps humanity that isn't religious. All right, so that's a clear shot. And me, Can I not fill up my gas tank? Can I use my credit card from whatever your Visa provider is? Probably not, because I looked them up too. And guess what? They give support to people. You can't escape it. Again, if it's a matter of conscience, cool. But to try to assemble the church to say, we are going to intimidate you into submission until you bend to our will and behave the way that we think you should, first of all, is not biblical. That's Pharisaical. That's not the message of the gospel. We're making enemies out of the harvest field. And furthermore, it's so selective. Starbucks? Well, what about the people who make the cups from Starbucks? Let's boycott the people who make the paper products that you use at home, your paper towels. Did you know that they give money to Planned Parenthood? Well, you better. No, they make the cardboard boxes that are used by the Girl Scouts who will do conferences with Planned Parenthood. Now what are you going to do? You
get a map.
Paralyzed. So please, if you want to boycott something, if you want to not spend your money, you do that as a matter of conscience. But please note, we shouldn't be known as the people who threaten and intimidate people, because at the very least, it is so selective. BeliefNet, owned by Fox, which is owned by Disney, explaining,
by the way,
everything about this article.
Which is run by Satan. He's on the board.
Yep. But the good news is Fox News is owned by the Fox Corporation, which is separate from Disney.
Okay. We can keep getting whipped up by Lauren Ingram every night then. Good, because where will I get my tank of fury filled if I can't watch the Sean Hannity? Jesus did not die on the cross for our sins is the headline. You've got to be joking. It may come as a surprise to say the Bible doesn't actually say that Jesus died for our sins. No matter how hard you search, you will not find a single passage in the entire Bible that says anything about Jesus paying the penalty for our sins. That's because this is a, quote, Christian belief that the Bible doesn't teach. It's a theology created by humans. I spent at least seconds Googling propitiation Bible verses. So please note,
there weren't any, were there?
I went to work on this bad boy. It took me a Google search, and the first one that pops up, let's just read together, shall we? 1 John 2:2, he himself is the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Romans 3:21-26. And now apart from the law of righteousness of God, the law of righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law of God and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. There is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift of his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. Remember.
See, but Todd, there's no verse that actually says Jesus came and died for our sins.
Yeah, except
in those exact words
that we just,
in that exact font.
I see. But because of our stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, which was what? Propitiated by Jesus Christ. That was the whole point. And on and on and on we go. Just pretty much the entire book of Romans. Okay, take the first four chapters of Ephesians, three chapters of Ephesians. Other than that, hardly a word. How's about in Colossians, the book loaded with what Jesus did for sinners? Absolutely staggering. Okay, you're right. I can't think of a Bible verse that said Jesus what was the exact thing?
Because Jesus died for your sins.
Yeah. How did they that's how they phrased it, right? What was the headline?
Okay, but it phrases it clearly 1,000 different times, and that is to dismiss, dare I say, unhitch the entire Old Testament, which was revealing that the Messiah must suffer. Why? For forgiveness of sins. How's about Isaiah 53? In fact, just for yucks, madam, who wrote this article, Isaiah 53 just hammers this thing over and over again as it describes it in detail. There's no forgiveness. Jesus didn't die for our sins. Who's believed our report? The arm of the Lord has been revealed, growing up like a tender plant. He's despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted in grief. As we hid our faces from him, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, a.k.a. sins. He was bruised for our iniquities, a.k.a. sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. We've gone astray. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Didn't open his... Like a lamb to the slaughter. Like a sheep before its shears is silent. He was cut off from the living for the transgression of my people. He was stricken. Well, thanks a lot for a really, really well thought and researched article. Courtesy of Walt Disney. Is that what we just learned from all of this? I think that's where we went. Yeah. This story is. This exactly. Is Wretched Radio. What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they have to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
So it's a Saturday night. There you are on your computer and you decide, I'm going to watch a video of John MacArthur. And then the very next thing you know, you've been up for 3 hours deep into YouTube watching a baby giraffe trying to stand up. Yeah, we've all been there. Well, instead of watching random videos and losing all sense of time, visit wretched.org. You'll find hundreds of hours of biblically based TV and radio and a library full of hand-picked content specifically for you. Over 2,400 30-minute TV programs with subjects ranging from abortion and apologetics to systematic theology and hermeneutics. And Wretched's hour-long radio programs, posted every day, they tackle the tough issues Christians face today. So the next time you're wandering around the web and watching baby giraffes trying to stand up, why not head on over to wretched.org, the home of all things wretched. Wretched.org. Wretched. Amazing grace.
Do ultrasounds really save the lives of babies? Yeah.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind. But seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
One ultrasound, one saved baby. Would you please consider supporting the Ministry of Preborn? Just $28 will provide a free ultrasound to a woman who is considering abortion. They are saving lives every day. 80% of the time a woman sees an ultrasound, she decides to choose life. How many ultrasounds could you provide for just $28? Kindly visit preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched. Provide ultrasounds and save the lives of babies.
Attributes of God. God is a person. He is not a detached, impersonal force. He is a conscious, self-aware being with a mind and a will. He has made himself known through Scripture, and most of all, he wants you to know him personally. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here's another one for you. This is Wretched Radio. How's about the headline, Jesus never declared that he was God? The early church didn't believe that Jesus was God. Ay, gaviltafish, Larry. Really? You're right. You're absolutely right. Jesus never said, I am God. Those three words in that order. But that doesn't mean he didn't declare his divinity over and over and over again.
Well, of course he didn't say that. I mean, he spoke Aramaic.
Exactly. How's about the fact that he received worship? Consider, he was being tempted in the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4. And what did Jesus say? You will worship the Lord God and him only. He moves away from the temptation out of the wilderness where people worshiped him. If he allowed worship and he was not God, that would be the highest form of blasphemy. But he received worship because he is God, and it made it clear that he didn't think that he was violating the commandment that you should worship God only because he believed that he was God because he is God. So to the people who say, well, Jesus never said, I am God, they simply haven't studied the issue much, if at all. Can't wait, can't wait, can't wait for our new booklet, The Man Who Split Time. I'm telling you, it is a beauty. And that is one of its major emphases. The Man Who Split Time, 22 proofs that Jesus is God. Jesus didn't say, I am God, and that is a proof that he is. Huh? Jesus did not say, I am God, those three words in that order, which is a demonstration that he is not a mere mortal, because that is precisely what a human being would say. That is exactly what if I wanted to somehow persuade you, oh, I know it would be a mountain of a task, but I wanted to persuade you that I am divine. That just sounds funny coming out, even in this ridiculous scenario. But I wanted to persuade you I'm God. You know what I'd say?
I'm God.
I don't know if I've told you this, but I'm God. That's, of course, duh. I wouldn't come up with anything more. I wouldn't have
what
any
is everyone,
to come up with more than that.
What is all of the Antichrist types who've wandered around, what have they all said? That they were
I'm God. Or they'll say I'm Jesus, which I have to confess to you continues to the verse that staggers me when Jesus warned, there's going to be people coming to saying that they're me. And you would think, well, what a preposterous thing. He's right again. Because people do. You pop up regular. There's probably people on the planet right now that have a following that are calling themselves a manifestation of Jesus Christ on the earth. What's his noodle?
Isn't there still that guy in Korea saying that?
Yeah, there's a fellow in Russia also that's doing it. Seems to be kind of far-flung places. Nevertheless, it happens. And Jesus never gave any sort of indication that he was a mere mortal by his affirmations of deity. Imagine, let's be careful with this, but let's imagine if you were going to try to trick people into thinking that you're God, what would you have to do? First of all, you'd probably have to get rid of a lot of people. You'd have to silence them somehow because they would be able to clearly point and go, no, he's not. Let me tell you what he did when he was eight. Let me tell you what he did. I remember doing this with him at the frat house. And clearly, that's not how God acts. So you'd have to get rid of anybody who has evidence. Put duct tape on their mouths. Silence them. Once you get that done, now try to be more clever than saying, I am God. What would you do? You'd think, I know, I'll give them a sign that I'm God. So you'd do a miracle. Well, you can't. So you'd have to do some sort of sleight of hand. Very difficult to get away with that. Especially when your sleight of hand is organic healing. You can't fake that. Jesus did that. It's staggering to me, all of these healings that always seem to take place overseas where we just don't have any video cameras. Case in point, there's an article. I've got it here someplace. It was reports of healings of the coronavirus in China. And if you heard the, if I could find the article, if you could hear the article, there's been reports from some pretty reliable sources that Christians are healing people with the coronavirus. Oh, there's pretty reliable sources that maybe some people are getting healed from the coronavirus. Ooh, I'm persuaded. It's always long distance. Jesus, right there.
We have videos of cars rolling on a road all by themselves at 2:30 in the morning.
But we can't see a video.
Can't find
somebody
one
who was lame for 39 years getting up and
was healed
his mat and
in
walking
front of thousands of people. Apparently,
we just don't have that ability. It's all kind of a little fuzzy, and we believe that possibly we've got the ability to see some people who are getting healed, possibly, but we're not exactly sure from some rather reliable sources. That's not what Jesus did. You couldn't pull it off. He did. Nobody ever. You never read about Jesus being called a huckster. Ah, you tree. They knew he was healing. They just credited it to the devil. They gave the wrong accreditation to him, but they knew that he was healing, but they couldn't deny it. What else would you do? You might try to link yourself to something bigger than yourself. That would be pretty sophisticated thinking. But that somehow you would want to find something bigger that perhaps is considered reliable and historical that would give you some sort of accreditation for your claims. What would you link into? All right, I'll ponder it. I got nothing for you right now. What did Jesus link himself to? Creation? Oh. How's about Abraham? Oh. How's about David? Oh, and a genealogy of people. Oh, I see. Oh, and to a religious system that had been around for a couple thousand years. Oh, and to a sacrificial system that people had been witnessing. The slaughter of lamb after lamb after lamb after lamb after lamb after lamb. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," connecting him to that sacrificial system. What do you got? What does a pretender have? Nothing. But that's what Jesus did. And that's why he didn't have to say, "I am God," because that would be about the lowest sort of argument for divinity. He tapped into, connected himself to the religious system that was revered, where these people had seen miracles. They knew that God was dwelling in that town, in that temple. That's what Jesus connected. There's another thing he connected himself to, that temple. That you tear down that temple, me? Which that temple is a picture of me who tabernacled among you and is going, I'm going to build it up again in 3 days. That's what he connected himself to. The I am statements. Before Abraham was, I am. And you using God's holy name. How's about this? I love this one. You ever thought about this one? When Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd." We love that, don't we? I'm the good shepherd. Let me take you to what he was clearly alluding to. I don't really need to turn to it, but just for the sake of making sure that you don't think I'm making anything up. Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd." Psalm 23. Have you heard it? "The Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd. God is my shepherd." Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd." I'm God is what he was saying. Did he say it, "I'm God"? Not like that, more powerfully than that, more persuasively than that. He linked himself to the Lord in Psalm 23, verse 1, which had been written about 1,000 years earlier by a king who promised, "I am going to have a throne that will reign forever and ever." He was promised that. And who fulfilled that? Jesus Christ, the King, which is the point of the Gospel of Matthew. Here's the King. The King has come. The promised better David is here. That is what Jesus is connected to. And that's why you can believe that he is God. And these silly people that make statements like, "Well, he never said that he's God." I am. That statement. Furthermore, I think I wrote about this in Jesus Unmasked. If you ever take a look at the Greek and the way that it is written, it sets up "I am." Don't forget, that would be the tetragrammaton. It's used thousands of times in the Old Testament that God's holy name, Lord, who shall I say sent me? Tell them I am sent you. YWJW. Jehovah. No, YHW. I got to write it down. Yeah. Oh, okay. YHWH. Jehovah. I am is my holy name. The always existing one. I am. Jesus said before Abraham was, I am. And the Greek, I don't know if it's in all of this, the seven I am statements in the Gospel of John, but I think it is, because I think I wrote about this in Jesus Unmasked. The Good Shepherd, I am. The door, I am. Living water, I am. By the way, don't forget living water. What a picture. He's tying himself back into Isaiah. Ho, all you who thirst, come and drink the living water. It's free. And what did Jesus said? The living water, I am. It was a double whammy, connecting himself to the prophecy of Isaiah and using God's holy name to apply it to himself. Did Jesus ever say, I am God? Wouldn't that be a bummer if he had? Until tomorrow, go serve your king.